Thanks for downloading this episode of the Simcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by searching for the Simcast wherever they get their podcasts. The Simcast on RS1.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Simcast episode 29. I can't even read a number on a screen. That's a promising start, isn't it? He's the inimitable Stephen Wilkinson, and I am the insufferable Matt Hunter, and welcome to the Simcast. Hello, Steve.
Hello.
Don't know why I did the introduction.
We're here again.
We're here again, and in typical British fashion, it is wet.
It is still raining. From 2 weeks ago, it's still raining.
It is continuing to rain. The rain, she rain every day. Starting to think that the county flower should be replaced to mildew. Getting that bad.
Or just an umbrella, like.
Yeah. Very much. Anyway, enough of this tomfoolery. You can talk to us at Simcast Radio on Threads. You can talk to us at Simcast Radio on X or Twitter, as the artist formerly known as Twitter, using the hashtag SimcastRSL. And of course, you can talk to us on the Book of Face, which hasn't changed its name. Because its owner is sensible, on the Radio Show Listeners Collective. Is it just me that's really perturbed by that logo change?
It's not the most stylish of logos, is it?
No.
I mean, it's a little bit of a cop-out, but hey-ho.
I literally can't work out what it is, why it is. I mean, it's not changing. It's like everyone's still going to retweet or tweet something or whatever. They're not going to re-X.
You're going to re-X that.
Yes. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's cross. Maybe that's what it's meant to be, and that's why everybody on it. And that makes sense, because actually everybody on it is very angry, generally.
It's very angry, aren't they? Yeah. So
yeah, that's why I like. That's why I sort of go. I go to. If I've got pent up aggression, I go to Twitter. If I just want to chill and like talk to nice people, like. I go to Threads.
I like it.
Damn you, stupid Brexit people, you idiots. Oh, look at those lovely bees. What pretty dogs. Oh, there's a cat falling off a pillow.
Oh, that's exactly what the internet was made for.
What, cats falling off pillows? Yes. Yes, it was.
Just to look at random videos.
Look, we don't want to go into what random videos you watch on the internet, mate. Let's get on with the news, shall we?
Before we get into
some sort of trouble. Speaking of something that... Oh, no, I can't do that. That would be very rude. iRacing has hit an anniversary. It's an interesting anniversary. It's not one people genuinely celebrate. It's normally 5 years before and 5 years. iRacing's 15.
I mean, for a racing game, that's quite old, to be honest.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean that iRacing can drink.
Most people on iRacing drive like they're drinking.
I mean, yes. thank you, COVID.
But they can legally drive now at 15 on iRacing in America.
Well, they can. Hang on. I think they can. They can. Drive on private roads, and he said private areas, then equally, yeah. On private roads in the UK, I think, can't they?
I think you can. I think you could do it at any age, I think.
That's why you see, oh, yeah, the amount of times I've been driving around seeing toddlers driving tractors off, over through hedges and stuff, it's just.
That's a normal common occurrence in Devon, though. Like, that is literally just.
Pretty much, yes. Devon, the home of the toddler tractor driver and the, literally, world's greatest cider. I've yet to ascertain why it's the World Cup. I'm not going to name it because we're not sponsored by them, and I don't drink it. I don't know why it's the world's greatest cider, because for a start, it's still. And still cider is not great. And then it's made worse by the fact that most people drink it at like room temperature, which is the only time in my entire 38 years of life on this planet where I've nearly been ill through alcohol.
Oh, room temperature still, apple juice.
Still tepid apple juice.
Oh. See, I am a cider drinker, and that
No. You don't get to say it like that.
Yeah, but I don't. But room temperature cider doesn't tickle the fancy. That's just a massive like no.
It's more the fact you didn't go, I am a cider drinker.
I am a cider drinker, and I don't like. That's
why are you Irish?
I don't know. That just went. This is...
You've just offended several viewers, listeners.
Moving on to sim racing.
Good lord. iRacing is 15. It cannot legally drink cider in this country.
Oh dear. This is.
So what the young farmers get up to is their own business.
Yes,
move on, quick.
It's 15. Right. So, what? How has it changed? iRacing. What is the biggest milestone of iRacing?
It doesn't look rubbish anymore. No, seriously. I'd actually. Was that an open ended question? Were you actually asking me, or was it hypothetical?
This is a genuine. No, it's not hypothetical. This is a genuine thing because I have only been on iRacing about 3 years ago. And...
So I would say personally, I think the visuals have improved. I think the quality of the scanning and the cars that they're putting in has improved, and I think more importantly the physics and tire model has improved.
I would agree. I mean
visually it's still, I mean, it's why you can play it on a potato. You know, visually it's still not exactly ACC, but
physically, it's really good.
Mm, it is very good.
From an engineering point of view, I've never come across a sim racing game that you can find out so much about.
Yeah.
From like a telemetry point of view, and things that they don't show, you can work out by other means, if that makes sense. So there are ways within iRacing without using like calculators on Excel or MATLAB and things like that, which you can do. You can bring in loads of geekery into it. But that's one thing I really like about iRacing, is you can just go mad on it from a geeky point of view. So I don't know anything about iRacing pre-COVID. Plague. That's when I started using it.
Well, I mean, I suppose I started using it. I was dabbling in it the year before, and then obviously when COVID hit, and I had my rig and everything like that, I was on it a lot. And I think I sort of remember when, you know, being a star. I've got paint on my screen. That's alarming. Yes, so when I started the rig and I was on it more and more and more, it was interesting because I sort of discovered that the step up from console stuff wasn't quite as horrendous as I thought it was going to be. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
So even though I wasn't using a wheel initially, like obviously like the consoles and stuff, I wasn't using a wheel, the mechanics of like how you drive a sim racing vehicle quickly around a circuit... relatively quickly. Okay, average speed for me around a circuit is fundamentally the same.
Yeah.
But the... I think where iRacing has excelled is how you then become very fast. And yes. Like you said, it's all the engineering nuances. And that's where it is like real life, because it is then, like, everyone can be ass speed. You know, most people in most cars can be pretty quick. But it's what you then, it's how you build your expertise and your knowledge to then get that extra bit by the engineering depth that's in the game.
Mm-hmm. That I agree with. Because you can, it's how to extract that extra tenth in the first phase of a corner to get 3/10 on the exit, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's those small things that iRacing, I think, really does excel really well at. It's a really easy game to play, but it's a really, really difficult game to master and
yes,
race.
Yeah.
And race like well.
Like I've never felt out of my depth racing on it. Purely because of the way the online lobby system works with it. I felt incredibly stupid because I go, oh, I did really well there. And then you realize you're in like the fifth lobby and you go, oh well. I love the way it does the big organized events. You know, the IndyCar last year, obviously the last one that they've done, was absolutely awesome. Thoroughly enjoyed it. All their 24-hour races, Sebring and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Just epic.
Even if you're in like the 50th split, you still feel like you're taking part in a massive race.
Yeah, exactly.
And even though you're in the 50th split, so out of 50 cars, you are 2,500. Do you know what I mean? Like so far behind.
Yeah,
you actually feel like you're. That's the only race that matters.
Yeah,
which I think is great. Basically,
yeah. I absolutely love that element of it, outside of Toro, I don't think I've ever really watched as much sim racing content as I have through iRacing, and like obviously their partner RaceBot TV, which of course our good friends at RLM have been heavily involved with in the past and continue to do so, you know, I think the other thing, the biggest success. About iRacing, everybody knows it.
Yeah, everyone does, and it's like the first thing.
Name a racing game on the PC. iRacing.
Yeah, and then the next thing you go to is ACC or Assetto Corsa.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's you go to iRacing. What I also like about iRacing is the fact that their community is really good as a whole. The community is good because I do see a lot of, like, every time someone posts up anything about iRacing, like the official thing, it's just like, oh, we want this car and oh, we should have this track and oh, we should do this and when's this, when's that and whatever. It's just like, dude, chill out.
Yeah.
Like, mate, it's not coming. They have an agenda and they have a reason why they release things. Get a grip. But I think the community that gets behind, for example, like the massive endurance races and things like that, and the series that they provide, and then other things that get involved, it's such a rewarding community as well.
Yeah. And I think the other thing I love is, what other race series can you accidentally bump into so many real world drivers?
Exactly, you know, as well.
This is the sim that they all go to.
Yeah, and like when the whole world stopped for a year or more, it was awesome. You could just log on whilst you were just enjoying your time at home and everything, and all of a sudden you're on the same track racing against people like Max Verstappen and all of the other ones that are just like playing iRacing, and they're just having fun as well. And you're now on sort of a level playing field as them, if that makes sense. And
It's like I knew about one Van der Linde, but I didn't know about Sheldon Van der Linde, and the only reason I knew that he existed was watching a lot watching iRacing and seeing him on there again. Oh, he's the brother. Who knew?
Yeah, and it's interesting how and also the way that iRacing has helped esports take off as well during the downtime as well. Like when they took the IMSA racing.
Yeah.
And that being like TV coverage as well. That was awesome as well. And the way it was presented and then just everyone else taking on trying to do sim racing and esports taking off as well. So they've done such a good job in the last 15 years to pioneer esports as a whole, I think.
Yeah, I'm for balance, we have to say, you know, there are a few, goodness me, reallys about iRacing. You know, Rain still isn't a thing yet.
Netcode,
yeah. It was a long time until we had day-night transitions. In fact, that came up on my memories on Facebook, if you can imagine. Some of the car choices that get added into it, or when they get added into it, a little bit bizarre, you know, and there's cars which we've kind of were hinted at or promised long ago and they've never materialized, same with tracks. But generally there's not really a lot to sort of knock it for. I mean, it is damn good at what it does.
It is, and it's one of the only sims that I've had a go on where, like, in the days of playing Forza and whatever and doing like double stinting at Le Mans or whatever for 4 hours of driving, and you think, yeah, after all I've done is stay up, that's kind of the tiredness part. I've done like 5 or 6 laps of Le Mans on iRacing and I've been sweating.
Yeah.
That's the difference. And it's that thing, like, how do I do the same lap time within a tenth or two but 4 hours on iRacing? That's where the difference of the games are, I think, from how good they are as well.
Well, let's talk about what they're actually doing. So there is a iRacing 15th anniversary series running pretty much all through August. In fact, it started a couple of days ago. The first week is with the Pontiac Solstice.
Oh, get that on.
I'm not going to lie, the car choices annoyed me a little bit, but I understand it because they're some of the oldest things that are on there and they're free. So I kind of get it. So on the first, which was Tuesday, they were at Summit Point Raceway. Then they went to Laguna Seca yesterday, which was Wednesday. Today they're at Summit Point again, the Jefferson Circuit. The fourth, they're on the Charlotte Motor Speedway Roval. Roval? Then on the fifth, they're at Lime Rock, the Grand Prix course. Sixth, VIR, the South course. And then that series closes out on Tsukuba, the 2004 circuit.
I love that track.
Tsukuba.
I love it.
I loved it for a while, but it's a bit like everybody constantly asking for Jimmy Kaido on Forza. It's like, yeah, okay, come on. It's had its time.
Well, I just have one massive memory of Tsukuba, and that's doing Tora's Le Mans series on that for 2 hours.
Oh, and that geez, was... I forgot we did that.
That was a knife fight in a phone box when you're in a GT Porsche and all you have is prototypes around you. I never had swore so much ever in my life. I never hit an apex.
Hit many other things, but not an apex.
Yeah.
anyway. So then the second week they're going. It's the Legends car series with the 34 Coupe. They're going to. I'm gonna keep saying Lanier, but I imagine it's probably Lanier or something like that. Lanier National Speedway, Asphalt, Oxford Plains Speedway, South Boston, Langley, USA International Speedway, Asphalt. Concord Speedway, or Concord, because there's not any on this, so it's probably Concord. Concord. And Irwindale Outer closes out the season on the 14th. All circuits except Irwindale are included with every iRacing membership, so you actually only need to buy one track for that. And with the first series, all circuits are included, so actually, that series is basically, if you're an iRacing member, that's free to enter. The second one is entirely free, except for Irwindale. And then they're doing the Skippies, which I really like, so the Skip Bar Performer 2000. Again, all circuits are included. With this one, I think you have to buy the car for that. I think I own it. I'm pretty sure I own it. Yes, I do. Starting at Lime Rock, then they move to VIR, the North Course. Laguna Seca on the 17th. VAR, the South... VAR. VIR. It's not football. On the South Course. Then we're at the Roval again. And then Summit Point Raceway, and then the VIR Patriot course to round it out on August 21st. And then the final series, late model stock, 22nd to the 28th. Four of the circuits here are included in the membership, three you have to purchase. The USA International Speedway, South Boston Speedway, Concord. Stafford, again, Martinsville, Lanier, and then closing out at the aforementioned Irwindale on August 28th. That's pretty cool. You know, they're also doing it in a way that means that you have to buy the minimum amount of stuff in order to compete in every single one. And that's whether you want to compete in every single one, of course.
Yeah, I like it. I'd really want to do the Skip Barber one.
The Skippies would actually be pretty cool. Yeah.
I do like a good, really low powered Formula car. That's just, you know.
Starts stuttering down the back straight. What's that, Skip? Racers who participate in at least one race from each series is going to get a 15th anniversary award. Cool. There's going to be a random draw to decide 15 lucky winners who are going to win a prize of 1,000 iRacing credits, which is cool because then obviously you could put that towards purchases in the iRacing shop.
How much is 1,000?
SHOPPE.
How much is 1,000 credits, roughly?
Probably not for half a circuit. I don't know. I genuinely don't know.
Fair enough. I'm going to say it's about a tenner or something like that. But yeah, I really like that. I think that's going to get everyone together, enjoying the retro things of life on iRacing. And I think people are going to realise that some of these older cars, when they just get like the updates that they've had in previous months and years and whatever, they're actually really good cars again. Do you know what I'm trying to say? Like. The Skip Barber, whether, because I think you only use that Skip Barber car, is it, when you're just starting out, and then
pretty much
then you just never use it again because you've got your iRacing license and that's it, you're away you go. So you jump into a GT3 and then you just go do the Spa 24 hours and then realize you're really far out of your depth.
Well, yes and no, because you'll end up in a split whereby actually the people around you are probably just as slow as you.
Oh, so certainly it's
crashed. If it was Nürburgring for me, it would be, yes. Can I complete an lap? That's going to be a video I do one day.
Yeah. Six months later.
Yeah. Yeah. 3 years later. No, he's still. Oh, he's still swearing. Oh, dear. No, that's not good.
That's not the Flugplatz he's calling that.
Similar. Let's talk about, we don't normally touch on open wheel races too much, obviously, but you know, we made a bit of a thing when, you know, various Forza Horizons have come out, but we haven't kind of elaborated on that too much more. Test Drive, we still haven't kind of, it's Solar Crown, isn't it? We haven't sort of got immense amounts of info for, you know, more than a few bits and bobs. However, another one that's sort of snuck in is coming from Ubisoft, which is The Crew Motorfest, which sounds remarkably like a certain ginger famous man's car-based event that happens at Alton Park, used to happen at Alton Park, and at a farm. Jodie Scheckter's farm, in fact, but it's not that at all.
No. Those mountains in the background of these shots do not look like a farm.
Very
unless,
true.
Unless it's in Peru.
And that's a very specific kind of farm. The latest announcement from The Crew Motorfest. Firstly, it looks very pretty. I have to say, I've watched a few videos on it, and I sort of thought it's going to be like Forza Light. It's not going to be that. Actually, yes, it is. It is as good as the current Forza Horizon, if not actually a bit prettier. And you get messed around with boats and planes as well, apparently. And going by the trailer I saw, Red Bull Formula One cars, which I quite like.
As
a bit random.
As you do.
But what they sort of have done is announced that they've announced the car list. No point doing a track list because it's an open world game. Over 600 vehicles will be in the game from launch, 80 of which are brand new. For this game. So. Yes, the Lotus Evija is in there, which is pretty cool.
I'm literally scanning down the cars list and I'm like, what takes my eye? Quickly, what is it? The DeLorean. That's what takes my eye.
Oh, you ridiculous man, you.
Straight away. They've got two editions of the DeLorean. They've even got the rad edition from 1981. Didn't even know there was two editions of the DMC-12, but there is.
What I actually automatically like with this car list is when you scan down is that you can see cars from the last couple of years on there as well, which I think it's safe to say is something is a fault that you can level at Forzas of recent generations. You know, all the new stuff, and by the time it actually comes out on DLC, isn't actually that new. There's something called a die. I'm flabbergasted as what it could be. The Chevrolet Corvette C8 Stingray. Well, we know what that is. 2020 Donut Edition.
What?
I mean, someone of the stature of myself, my eye was automatically drawn to that.
The donut part specifically.
Yes. the one immediately under it, I misread. It's actually the Interception unit. I misread that as the Inception unit. So that would be a Corvette inside a Corvette inside a Corvette inside a Corvette.
Wonderful. They've got the Porsche 911 GT3 RS.
Your reaction to that was exactly what I expected. I'm just saying. It's like, no, we're going to ignore he said that because it was that stupid.
I was like, oh, he's done it.
He's so bloody predictable.
He's done it.
Do you know what's interesting? There's a billion Mustangs on there and none of them are the Dark Horse. I'm not saying it as a question. I'm pointing it as an actual fact.
Oh, there's a billion Mustangs, isn't there?
Yes, but none of them are the Dark Horse.
As a tribute.
Yeah, that's a Tenacious D song. Mm-hmm. So of course, my eye was immediately drawn to Type R's because me. So they've got the FK8 and they've got the FK2, which is the last two gens. They haven't got the new one.
Oh, they haven't got
I don't know why I went like that. Is actually in anything officially yet? So I've got a lovely mod for it in Assetto Corsa though.
Four Mazda RX-7s.
Apparently the biggest thing for this is the inclusion of Toyota. Now there are only 1, 2, 3, 4 Toyotas in it, but two of them are Supras. All of them.
They're all Supras.
all of them are. I meant Toyota GR. There's a Supra at the end. Okay. Oh, it's a Supra.
There is actually only two different types of Supra.
Yes, one old, one new Supra. But it's nice to see Toyota in the game also. Do you know what jumped out at me immediately? I went, wow, I have not seen that for an extremely long time. In fact, the last time I probably saw it may well have been Forza 3. And that's the Spyker CA.
Yeah, I literally looked at the Spyker CA and I was like, wow, the last time I saw that was 2008 at Silverstone.
And insert Titanic, it's been 78 years meme here.
Yeah. Oh, dear. Fair enough.
And of course,
Street racing bikes. Oh, wow.
Oh, I hadn't even scanned down that far. Oh,
there's hypercars. And there's hypercars.
So there really is actually quite a lot.
And there's drift cars, which there's another two Mustangs.
So does that mean there's more Porsches? Of course there are.
Of course, everything needs a Porsche. And a Ruff as well, because everyone needs that. And another Toyota GR Supra.
Yes, there is every Lamborghini known to man.
And racing cars.
Search and rescue is flying over my house for some reason. Yes, there are definitely racing cars. I've been reliably informed that the Bugatti that I've been mispronouncing is the Bolide, not the Bolide. Apparently, it's the Bolide.
The Spyker GT2 is in this game.
Well, that's just. I think I might actually have to.
Just stop the bus. The Spyker GT2 is in the game. I've just lost.
Yeah, there's a racing bike set. There's a racing bike section as well, which has got some rather
rally cars as well.
Yeah,
rally raid.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, rally raid bikes. You can have the Dakar.
So there is a section if you keep scrolling down that's called Alpha GP.
Oh,
there are. There are four Red Bulls on there. Well, it's technically there's three because two of them the RB14, but yeah, Red Bull feature in this.
If you really want to as well, you can have the Supermarine Spitfire.
Yes, I'd not mention that planes are in this as well.
I mean, you could have a Spitfire as well. This is amazing. I love ice racing.
See, you
this
went
is amazing.
You went Spit. Right, okay. This is turning into the. This is turning to Simcast, where the sim can mean literally any sim now. Because we have to at some point. All things being entirely serious, when I am all set up and everything like that, we have to look at DCS. We have to, dear listener. If you have any interest in flying planes fast and shooting things in an extremely realistic manner, and I mean so realistic that you have to literally take off from your aircraft carrier, fly all the way to the destination that you're going to blow up, blow it up, and then fly all the way to home and land, and do all the radio calls and everything like that that you have to do in real life, you have to try DCS. A DLC plane on DCS is like 50 quid.
Wow.
Because it is stupidly accurate. Like, stupidly accurate, yeah. It's insane, but it is immense. So one day we will actually look at that as well, because, you know, things that go fast and are simulated doesn't necessarily have to be on four wheels or two.
That's Demolition Derby. This game is going to be amazing.
There is.
So much fun with your friends on this game.
I personally, I'm very excited about a Lamborghini powerboat because the engines that they use in those powerboats, the Lamborghini engines that use the powerboats, are ludicrous. I'm actually really surprised there's not a Sunseeker in there. Actually, I suppose then they're probably not powerboaty enough. They're a bit more. Perhaps a little more leisurely.
That's a pleasure cruiser to what's on this list.
Yeah. But I'm quite excited about this now. I have to admit, dear listener, when I looked at this, I literally looked at the car list and went, bad. Yeah, it's pretty what you'd expect. And now, yeah, scrolling down, what you're hearing from us is the pure excitement of people who haven't actually researched this properly.
This is what you need. This is pure ecstasy in looking at a cast. Why can't Forza give me this much happiness when I looked at a
cast? I'm going to throw a little spanner in the works because I can't. I have yet to play a game that has bikes and cars in it that does the physics for both equally well.
Oh, this is not going to do it. I will be so surprised. This is going to be the Forza Horizon of just you mess but around almost, with your mates but, and you go yes, 400 miles an hour.
Yes, but do you know what? I actually don't care.
No, I don't care either.
I actually don't care.
I absolutely don't care. As long as it has a really good audio.
But Indian and... bikes. Indian is on there, is on the list. Seriously? That's amazing.
This is what I mean. It's like you just grab your friends and just go cruising around this world. How big's the world? I'm hoping it's going to be really big.
Dylan just literally asked how big the world is. I mean... it's got to be big enough at least to accommodate 600 initial vehicles.
Well, it's got to have planes. I mean, it's got to accommodate planes.
I'm flabbergasted at actually how cool this is. I can't wait for the DLC. What are we going to get? A Su-27?
The gold edition, you get 25 more cars.
I'm going to have to check. I'm genuinely going to have to look on Steam to find out how much this is going to be. Because, okay. Well,
right.
We're going to just pull back on our excitement just slightly.
Shall we move on?
It comes out on the 14th of September, so we have a little bit of time. A couple more cars that will be coming out at launch is the brand new BMW M4 Competition, the Dodge Charger Red Eye Wide Body, and the 1970 Chevrolet Chevelle SS with the Ferrari 308 GTS and Ferrari SF90 Stradale added on the 8th of November. That's quite a thing. Well. So I'm just going to tear myself away from that because I could actually look at that car. It's quite a bit longer. So we have been talking about from Straight Four Studios, Ian Bell's regeneration, if you like. He's not Doctor Who, but hey, he's basically bringing back, I think, one of the most iconic sim racing titles of the last two decades, which is GTR. And cool. It's going to be called GT Revival. Now, not that long ago, we had some... Did we cover it, or did the boys cover it? I can't remember. But not too long ago, anyway, we had some pictures of the Audi GT3... and it realized in game, and it looked very good. It looked very good, which you'd come to expect, to be honest. But what we've just had revealed, and we're hoping to get Ian Bell on the show soon in the next, with this month, hopefully, to talk more about what's coming up. But he posted a picture, which I have a little double take at, and basically it's a control console from inside a racing car. It's not a current GT3 car. It's not even a GT2 car.
I'm going to hold my hand up and say I haven't scrolled down this thing.
Well, because it's probably the most iconic car.
I do recognise it.
It's the most iconic cars in GTR history. It's one of my favourite racing cars in the world ever. It is the ProDrive Ferrari 550 GTS Maranello.
Oh, so it is. Yes. I thought I recognised that.
Yes. And that is that. I am not even joking. Obviously, everyone who knows me knows what a fan of Aston Martin I am. Aston Martin racing. I was there at their very first UK race at Silverstone. I watched them win. And, you know, I was fully on board then. But that car, the 550, that was the car that made me fall in love with GT racing. And I
the
played
noise.
That. Yes. And I raced that car in GTR to death. I had every edition of it I could possibly get. The Russian Age Racing version, the blue livery, RAR, was one of my all-time favourites. The Care Racing Pro Drive works car from Le Mans, you know, iconic to me. You know, you had the Fon Metal JMB Motorsport cars as well. Scuderia Italia, BMS Italia, ran them as well.
Yep.
You know, all these car iconic liveries, iconic teams in GT history, and they all ran this car. And if you ever got to hear it in period, it's incredible. If you ever get to go to a revival event where they're running it, and you've never heard it before, you're in for a treat. And I tell you what, if they pull off the audio, and in fairness, I will say, all through Project Cars, for all, you know, the game's nuances, the sound has always been phenomenal.
Yeah.
If they, and it was in GTR as well, to be fair. And if they pull it off in this...
GTR 2 was really... I played GTR 2 a lot. And even though I was using a potato computer, the sound and the physics of that game made that game.
Yeah.
And to date, GTR as a whole is the only sim game that has scared me at night going up like Île Rouge and Radeon in the rain.
Yeah.
In a GT car. It's the only... Yeah, that's the only one that has actually scared me and wanted me to go, do I really actually question my sim life choices? but yeah, so... I'm all for this.
And to be honest, if this is the... And Revival kind of did make me think, well, is that what they're going to do? Are they going to, you know, basically do, you know, bring back all these iconic cars in one game rather than have them modded across several? I'm all for that. The other little tidbit of information that came out, a early access program may well come in time for Christmas.
Oh, that's what we want to hear.
Ian, we have 5 very willing volunteers for you, all with varying degrees of computer access.
Yeah.
So if you want the full gamut of controller operated interaction, we're here for you, mate. I still have video actually that I captured when I was at Silverstone, the very first time I went for FIA GT in, goodness me, 2005. And hearing those cars for the first time was, yeah, because of course they started bringing the 575 in as well, and that was just as good. No, it was 2004 was the first year I went. Anyway, but yes.
It's the same era as the Corvette C5s, I think, was it?
Yep. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the Murcielagos as well.
Yep. The writer of engineering ones were later. They sort of came in when... the SRO version, I think, started to come about, I think.
Yeah, and then
there was a version of it before that, I believe. Of course, you had the Maseratis, the MC12s.
Oh, yeah, the car that was clearly balanced to the regulations.
Absolutely, yeah. It wasn't, in fact, a Ferrari Enzo in the new skin at all. And like you said, we had the Spikers, we had... all sorts of cool different brands out there back then. I mean, we have now, you know.
I remember
was like a, The last big awesome period of sports car racing.
Like, they had really weird classes back then as well, because they had like GT1s and stuff, but they had GT2 wasn't a thing or something like that. Wasn't it NGT back then?
Yes.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it?
That was what you had. So that you had the original, the Ferrari 360.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And R911.
Yeah.
As some as the bits and bobs.
And then I remember there was like a Lotus Exige. I think it was Exige.
Yes, there was the engine. Then. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
See, this is when I was like 10 years old, and this is what GTR has actually ingrained in my mind, is that,
oh yes,
being those cars on the game, and then going to Silverstone at about 2007-ish, 2008, and watching what was the latter stages of GT1, or mid to latter stages of GT1, and then GT2s as well, which were incredible cars as well, but in that times. Anyway, I'm all for this.
So we are all, and as people who like to talk about, you know, to go down memory pit lane, should we call it? This is definitely something we are up for. So, Ian, we look forward to getting you on the show at some point in the near future. Just quickly moving on, because somehow we've managed to do 45 minutes, and I think we've only talked about three things. May I just point out, dear listener, that actually this week we have gone on very few segues into real-world nonsense that we normally do.
That's true.
Just pointing it out, we have stayed on topic for pretty much everything. Log this moment.
So it's the topic's fault, not us.
Yeah.
Log Blame the topic.
Treasure it. It shall never happen. I hate topics. They're horrible, nutty, bastard things. Anyway, moving on to something that's literally down the road from me, like 5 minutes from my house. I found out, there's a sim racing centre. I don't think there's actually any other sim racing centres like this in Devon. It's pretty awesome. Apex Race Centre here in Collumpton, on the road to Willand. So I went down there on Saturday because they had a BTCC Mercedes A-Class there. For reasons, because they are setting up something called Fast Track to Motorsport. Again, this we are hoping to get someone from Apex to come on to talk about the actual ins and outs of this, because it is really, really cool, and it is running all through August. It's brought to you by Refuel and racecarexperiences.co.uk, and this is being held at Apex. It's going to give anyone with a driving license or a senior race license a chance to compete for a £150,000 motor racing scholarship with Team Hard, one of the UK's leading independent motorsports teams. Now, I love Team Hard because they really have embraced esports. You know, they have their own series. David Ball's a good friend of mine who does all the media and PR for Team Hard. So I need to talk to him about this as well, actually, because it is pretty awesome. So basically, they want to sort of break down the barriers a little bit with motorsport, because let's face it, motorsport's pretty expensive. And they wanted to sort of break it down so that they're going to do sim racing series, and then they will then move on to a track day final at Brands Hatch, where they'll drive the Mercedes A-Class touring car. And the overall winner will go on to take part in the Team Hard Racing Scholarship, where they could secure a place in the 2024 British Endurance Championship.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, just to be honest, just getting through to it and being able to have a spot in the, Brit Car, isn't it? The BEC, fundamentally.
It is. I'm a little bit offended of how they worded that. A feeder series, the British Touring Car Championship.
Yes!
I'm like, well, it's kind
British
of...
GT. It's British GT, really.
Yeah.
But in fairness, what I understand that, because Team Hard haven't really done British GT. They've always gone BEC and brought people from their BEC teams into touring cars. So in that respect...
It is. It is for them.
Yeah. Yeah. Obviously, you do have to, in order to take part in this, you can practice as much as you want at home, but you do actually have to go to the centre in order to set your actual times to be in for this. So there is a certain geographical limitation, perhaps, unless you want to come down to wonderful, wet Devon and do all your times at the three on the three events that you need to do it in to try and win this. But yes, I thought it was really, really cool. So yeah, we're going to hopefully get someone from Apex on very soon to talk more about this and fill us in on all the details and the rules and regs and everything for it, because it's just awesome. It's so cool, and the fact that it's here as well. You know, it's not exactly Motorsport Valley down here, so yeah, awesome.
Yeah, that's
so
awesomely cool.
There we go.
What is it on? What's it on though?
R-Factor.
R-Factor.
Yeah, so they have actually got a series, their own series going that's using all the current touring cars, which I love. I do actually need to sort of go down and take part in that thing, because I think that'd be quite cool. Also coming soon from our good friends at Motorsport UK, who will also be featuring as a guest in a future show. They have revealed the calendar for their officially sanctioned British F4 esports series, and of course now that the actual car's in the game as well, I think it might have been last year
they had the F3 at one point, if I remember correctly, did they not?
Yeah, but I think they brought it in just enough that they could run it last year. But it's cool because the series draws in the official, like, where F1 have got their own esports teams, they enter in this, obviously, because it's a Motorsport UK series, and Apex Racing team, who won the championship last year, they'll be back as well, which is awesome. Of course, the series will be shown on Race Spot. I did actually watch a few of the races last year, and it was epic fun. It was really cool. So the series is going to start on in September and run through to November. The media day for it is on the 20th of September, round one, Brands Hatch Indy on the 27th, Donington National on the 4th of October, Snetterton 300 on the 11th, Orton Park on the 25th, Silverstone GP on the 8th of November, Knock Hill on the 15th, that'll be fun. iRatings are going to be humbling in that one. Donington GP on the 22nd, and closing out the season on Brands Hatch on the 29th of November. They had also announced a feeder series for that championship, which is going to be the UK FF 1600 Esports Cup. I'm sorry, if they don't do a Formula Ford Festival at Formula Ford E Festival at Brands Hatch, they absolutely.
If they do a Formula Ford Festival in October, like a week before or after the real one, that'll be very, very cool.
Yeah.
If they manage to do that.
Yeah, so it's awesome. I'm just blown away that you know, to see how motorsport in the UK is embracing esports now. It's something, you know, we could only have dreamed of when Taurus started, and you know, you think how much water's passed under the bridge, and everything changed with COVID and everything that Taurus did in the run up. It's just amazing to see. Yeah, and one of the memories that came up again on Facebook was where Angus Fender, friend of the show, sent me a photo of the Toro logo on the British GT M, the Century Motorsport British GT M6 GT3.
That was like a very proud dad moment, wasn't it?
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah, and the fact that has been now immortalized in a set of course, you know, in ACC is just, you know, I can retire a happy man now.
Yeah,
that happened. So it's really cool. But as we say, hopefully there'll be even more coming from Motorsport UK as regards esports and stuff. But of course, if you want to learn more, head over to their esports hub as well, and you can get all the relevant information. There's lots of guides and recognized groups and ways of getting into sim racing over there. They really are doing everything they possibly can to sort of really push esports, and it is incredibly heartening to see. We're going to close out the show with just a bit of really random news. Gran Turismo 7 I can't even, because basically, obviously Gran Turismo 7 announced their next kind of, you know, the next sneak peek of the cars that are coming out on the 7th of August. Three of which looked like normal cars, and one looked like a van. I went, oh, it's the, you know, it's the Super Transit or something, or, you know, the Super Van, the Ford Super Van. Yeah, no, it wasn't.
I've just seen what this is.
No, it's a Toyota Ambulance HiMedic 2021.
Oh, that's...
Why?
Now, I can't wait to see some esport races online where they've got like a line of like all the cars and everything, and then right at the back they've got their medical car for a lap. Yeah.
But I'm not being funny. If you do a whole race with these ambivalences, it's going to be an epilepsy warning. It's terrifying. Anyway, it just, you know, is Gran Turismo still relevant when it's releasing things like that? Oh, really? Yeah.
That's amazing.
I'm... yeah, so... Totally no. Just no. And finally, race replay moments have been added for F1 Manager 2023. The latest one's from Spa. And, I mean, if I say it's called Alley Alpine, I think we can all agree that basically you just have to make sure that the drivers don't kill each other, which seems to be a weekend-by-weekend task these days. Can you survive longer than Otmar? No. I got sacked before the race.
If we don't turn up, it means our cars don't DNF.
Yeah, if we don't race, they can't hit each other. No, I really like the fact that they've added these, like, effectively change history things into the game. That is really cool, but I'm not entirely sure why they had to pick that one, but fair enough. And on that bombshell, it is time to finish the show. We went through a whole show and we barely talked about things that weren't on topic. I'm actually flabbergasted. A little scared.
Yeah.
Ben, Lewis and Travis and probably everybody else will be back next week. We will see you in 2 weeks. Hopefully, we will have guests in the next show. Maybe one, maybe two. Maybe you won't hear us at all. It'll be all guests. Way! Have a fantastic rest of your week. We will see you soon. I've been Matt. Steve has been Steve. And, yeah. Bye-bye.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, subscribe to the Simcast wherever you get your podcasts.